You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
The Green Party recently made renewed calls to the government to sanction Israel for its illegal occupation of Palestine following the seizure of the Madleen, a vessel that aimed to deliver food and medical aid to Gaza. The vessel, which was en route to Gaza, was intercepted in the Mediterranean by the Israeli Defense Forces before being rerouted to Israel with all those on board, among whom was Swedish activist Greta Thunberg. Earlier this week, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon and Immigration Minister Erica Stanford recently announced the Parent Boost Visa, part of the government's self-described commitment to supporting parents living overseas to visit and stay with their families here in Aotearoa. And over in the United States, 2,000 National Guard troops and 700 Marines have been deployed to the city of Los Angeles in response to protests opposing the city's recent immigration raids. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke to MP Ricardo Menendez March about all of these issues.
What is the Green Party's take on the seizure of the Madleen by the Israeli Defense Forces?
Yeah, it's completely unacceptable, and it shows that Israel isn't serious about having a solution that actually centers peace and the well-being of people in Gaza. To basically kidnap and intercept a peace flotilla whose intent was to, you know, promote peacekeeping, deliver some form of aid, and to raise awareness, just shows that Israel will basically go at any lengths to stop the international community from fighting towards peace and justice.
Do you think that the New Zealand government has issued an appropriate response to the Madleen seizure?
The New Zealand government has not had an adequate response to the genocide, period. And I think part of the problem is that the government hasn't stepped in when we're seeing countless of people in Gaza being brutally murdered by the Israeli forces. And they're not showing a strong response at all when it comes to members of the international community effectively being kidnapped. To, for example, just issue travel bans to a handful of politicians. 2 months later after the genocide started, it shows that the government is taking baby steps when it comes to actually addressing an ongoing genocide.
Do you think that the seizure of the Madleen should be grounds for additional sanctions against Israel?
Absolutely, and sanctions were well overdue, as well as the expulsion of the Israeli ambassador. As I've said, the government talks big game at the UN, but when it comes to using the domestic levers that we have to hold Israel to account, our government hasn't taken much action. And this is the problem, is that Israel sees itself as having leeway to continue its genocide because the international community is not taking tangible action, for example, in the forms of sanctions against the government. And Luxon and his mates have an opportunity to do this by supporting Chloe Swarbrick's bill to actually have a sanctions regime towards Israel in the same way we did it with Russia.
A UN conference focusing on the recognition of a Palestinian state will be held in New York next week. Should New Zealand be joining the countries that are planning to recognize a Palestinian state at this conference?
New Zealand should, and New Zealand doesn't even have to wait for the conference to do that very same thing. We've been pushing for quite some years, even since the previous Labour government, to have Palestine recognized. And you know, the Labour Party was too late and chose to not do it when they were in power. And I think National has an opportunity right now, particularly with a genocide continuing to unfold, that that this is a tangible step we could do to actually at least recognize Palestinian statehood, which is one first step, but that should come alongside holding Israel to account.
All right, moving on to the next topic. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon and Immigration Minister Erica Stanford recently announced the Parent Boost Visa, which is part of the government's self-described commitment to supporting parents living overseas to visit and stay with their families here in Aotearoa. As part of the visa, the parents of New Zealand citizens and residents would be allowed visits of up to 5 years, extending to 10 after applying for a second time, provided that all applicants met the eligibility requirements. So my next question is, as the immigration spokesperson for the Green Party, what's your opinion on the new Parent Boost Visa?
So we do need better solutions to reunite families and recognize that many migrant workers are sending substantive amount of money overseas and are taking a lot of leave to be with their parents, many, you know, who are aging. But the visa that was announced in the past 7 days, what it does is it basically gives allowance for those that are really, really wealthy and who have extremely healthy parents, basically, to be able to be reunited. The key issue that we have with the policy is the income and asset, basically, requirement that, for example, requires someone to have $250,000 in funds if they wanted to sponsor both parents to come to New Zealand.
So just to reiterate, is the parent boost visa not robust enough to support the parents of migrants in Aotearoa?
The parent boost visa basically serves only the wealthy few migrants who happen to have the necessary funds, and it leaves behind many of our migrant workers that we called essential during the pandemic, for example. It leaves out many of our construction workers, people who work in lower paid healthcare jobs that are critical to our economy and our well-being, and therefore those migrants deserve genuine pathways to be with their parents.
Erica Stanford has said that the aim of the visa is to make New Zealand attractive for migrants without adding strain to our public services. Do you think that this visa does that effectively?
If Erica was so concerned about strains on our public services, she wouldn't be slashing and cutting those very same public services. This is part of the issue, is that the government chose to actually undermine our public services, including healthcare, and at the same time then talk about how she's worried immigration could put a further strain to those very same public services, effectively spreading narratives of scapegoating migrant communities for their own very intentional gutting of public services. This is why we should invest better in our public services and have a much fairer parent category visa that allows people to be reunited with their families.
Auckland barrister Nalisoni Tupou said that the financial and insurance requirements in the visa would be limiting for particularly Pasifika families. Do you agree with this?
Absolutely, because the government continues to ignore that by design many Pasifika families are in lower paid yet essential jobs. And if we are going to genuinely be creating immigration policies that recognize our place in the Pacific, but also that treat workers with the respect and dignity that they deserve, we wouldn't be having requirements that only create the conditions for high-income earners and those with, for example, $250,000 in funds to be able to apply.
And just to reiterate, what would be a more appropriate set of thresholds to include in the visa instead?
I think having an income requirement isn't fit for purpose. We should be also measuring the benefits that having families together create. For example, many of these parents would be helping with the raising of grandchildren, and we also stop a lot of money being sent overseas. Like, we shouldn't underestimate the well-being factors for families to be together. So lowering that income and fund requirement would allow, and having, for example, we could even explore a ballot system, would actually allow for a much more just process for migrant families rather than simply benefiting the wealthy few.
All right, moving on to the last topic. Over in the United States, 2,000 National Guard troops and 700 Marines have been deployed to Los Angeles in response to protests opposing the city's recent immigration raids. Amidst the fifth day of demonstrations, as of today, the U.S. National Guard has fired rubber bullets and tear gas at demonstrators, which California officials have described as excessive force. Now, even though these events have happened beyond our shores, do you think that there are any parallels between the protests in California and the immigration policies under this current government?
Absolutely, and we've got to remember that this is coming off the back of anti-immigration rhetoric and a plan to effectively separate migrant families and deport them, causing huge harm and distress for local communities who are now living in fear and sometimes in hiding. The parallels here are twofold. One of them is the reality that many of the things that we are shocked that Trump is doing, for example, exploring removing birthright citizenship, have already been done here 20 years ago using very similar scaremongering rhetoric that wasn't founded on evidence. 20 years ago, when our government took away birthright citizenship, they couldn't actually find evidence that there was an issue with the policy to begin with. And politicians created imaginary migrants in their heads to justify the change. And this government continues to use language like how the previous government, quote, opened the floodgates and talks about migrants, as a burden to the economy, as opposed to recognizing our full humanity and the contributions that we bring. So we shouldn't assume that we're immune to the far-right rhetoric and policies that the Trump administration is doing here on shore.
Earlier this year, Winston Peters and Shane Jones from NZ First made comments directed towards yourself and other Green MPs of Latin American descent in Parliament, with Winston Peters telling you and Francisco Hernandez to show gratitude for being in New Zealand. Do you think that the events in California could further racist sentiment towards Latin Americans here in Aotearoa?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we've got Winston Peters, who made a career of scapegoating migrants in his, you know, 50 years in politics. But now I think he's emboldened by the Trump's administration approach to migrant communities. And the problem is that we have a prime minister in Luxon who doesn't call it out and allows actually that anti-migrant rhetoric and often policies to basically become mainstream by nature of him not showing leadership and allowing Winston Peters to have free reins when it comes to how he talks about and directs anger and hate towards migrant communities.
And do you think that our government should be responding to the events in California and the use of force at these protests?
The most important thing that our government can do is to actually show that we can have governments that treat our migrant communities with respect and dignity, that acknowledges our contributions to Aotearoa, instead of simply creating policies that benefit the wealthy few migrants at the expense of everybody else. I think that actually would show that a different set of politics is possible, and this is exactly what we're fighting for in the Greens.
And that was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March talking to us about the seizure of the Medellin by Israeli Defense Forces, the government's new parent boost visa, and the unrest in Los Angeles in opposition to U.S. immigration policies.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.